Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event! Hello to all our dear listeners. This is your spokesman with a plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, coming to you after somewhat of an absent spell, as since December of 2018, I've been sailing around the world. From Italy to Canada, I've been making my way across this beautiful land of ours, searching for new meaning to an older existence. I'm happy to say I'm back now, and here to let you in on some stuff going on as of late. In mid-2018, the Cloverleaf Radio Network expanded to include our friends Josh and Ariana over at Night Moves Radio. It's been a splendid partnership, and Jimmy, Jane, and I are happy to welcome them to the family. They also brought along Soul Stories, which features inspiring poetry, read by the author herself, Ariana Cherry. We've been brought onto many new networks, including Anchor, the ASY Podcasting Network, WordPress, Podbean, even iHeartRadio. We've also started a fresh new YouTube page, as well as updating our Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, and expanding our network to new segments, more radio reunions, all news guests, and so much more. Also, the Cloverleaf Radio Network, Jimmy, Ariana, and Josh, will be appearing upcoming at two conventions, SilCon and Dark History Con. SilCon will be held September 6th and 7th, 2019, at Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois, while Dark History Con will be held October 26th and 27th, 2019, at the City Center Performance Venue in Champaign, Illinois. Be sure and check out the newest guest appearances, as well as find out about up-to-date ticket information by visiting www.silcon.com or www.dhhc.com. Although, please note, SilCon is a free event. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to follow and support us for 11 years. This is Clarence Cloverleaf saying good day to you.
All right. Wow. All righty, we are back with another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. Frog in my throat and all. I am the host of most, Jimmy Falcon, and back with another great show. Our guest, this man has been a guest numerous times, and I never get tired of having him. I would say besides Classy Freddie Blassie, he would have to be Nikolai Volkoff and Iron Sheik's best manager. He's also a great actor and a great man as well. It's from Nikita Brezhnikov. How's it going, brother?
Hey, Jimmy. I thank you for that intro. That's beautiful, man. Put me up there with Freddie. Oh, I'm in heaven, man. That's great.
How you been? It's been a while since we've talked. Like, I know I mentioned, I think, that the last time we talked, Nikolai was still with us. That was a big loss for wrestling, and I'm sure it was a big loss for you. How did all about that come about? I mean, he seemed like he was wrestling still, to my knowledge. He seemed like he was in pretty good health.
Yeah. In fact, that April, he actually had become the minister, and he performed the marriage ceremony for my son. So,
wow.
I got to spend the whole week with him. And to the best of my knowledge, I think my son is the only one he ever really married. So, we had a lot of up-close interaction for that week with the rehearsals and all the other stuff that was going on. And then, we would talk just about daily. And then all of a sudden, and he's just not feeling good. And then it really happened, like when you hear people say it was stunned, because they're stunning because it just came out of nowhere. And yeah, he was having some problems, but nothing that would lead you to believe he'd be leaving us. But then just that quickly, he was gone. And, yeah, it's a loss I do feel every single day, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
He had that kind of presence.
Oh, yeah, he was so nice. Man, he was one of the nicest wrestlers that I think I've met and interviewed. Just a really down-to-earth guy.
Well, you know, when you're out on the road, there's a lot of time to aggravate each other or to get in each other's hair. But we never had that. It was always like the best description I give is like two kids that got loose from their parents. We were just off running, having a good time. And I'm talking all hours, day and night, traveling with no sleep, little sleep, still having fun. Didn't matter. And watching Nikolai with other people and interacting, always a happy, positive guy. Always first guy up to give you advice. You talk about maybe your health issues or diets and things like that. Always happy to talk with people. And he was a positive person, which is sometimes hard to find in the world. Somebody always wants to be the preacher of gloom and doom, but not him. He would always find the positive. And one of his famous sayings was, "Why you worry? It's like debt you may never have to pay. Why do it?" I said, "Yeah, Nicole, you're right. Makes good sense."
Yeah, it's always unfortunate when somebody in wrestling passes away. And, you know, being that he was such a monumental man and force, it was even makes it worse.
Well, the problem is, Jimmy, we're losing too many. And it's like, last year was a horrible year. Johnny, we lose him, Johnny V, right after Easter. He was hit by a vehicle crossing the street, and I had just spoken with him. In fact, I left him a message on his telephone that morning, not knowing what had happened. And then I get a call that night from somebody asking me, they said, "Please tell me this isn't true." And I said, "I haven't heard. I know where to look." And I did. I'm like, "I hate to tell you, but it's true." I said, "Oh, man, this is unbelievable." And then Bruno and Bundy, so many other people, it's like, come on, it's got to stop. Jim Neidhart, you know, it's like, come on.
Grandmaster Sexay.
I'm trying to think.
I agree. And wrestling, I mean, at least in the last 30 years, wrestling has seemed to be linked to a lot of sufficient deaths, of course, with the steroid use back in the day and rampant cocaine drug use. It was bound to happen because the boys kind of knew how to play hard, but didn't really know when to quit and stay, you know. I think I've had enough.
Well, you know, the body is very unforgiving, but in a lot of those cases, that wasn't related to anything like that, you know. And it's Bruno, he was as clean as a hound's tooth. Nikolai, Johnny, you know, Johnny's, of course, an automobile accident, but it's like, I think, we're just at that unfortunate age, and so many of the people we care about, you know, we have to see them go. It's one of the lousy things of being one of the survivors. You got to watch the other ones go. I hate it.
Yeah, you do make a good point. Although wrestling has had its fair share of drug and everything related deaths, there has just been a lot of, old age and, like you said, car accidents and just unfortunate things seem to plague wrestlers.
Yes. You know, people think it's all glamour, and you have fun, and you sign autographs, and you just go about your business, and you're a millionaire, but it's like, you know, that money's not what you think it is. And if you don't take care of it, and even if you do take care of it, there's taxes, and there's always this one to pay, that one to pay. So if that's all you've done all your life, it's be a wrestler, that's all you can do. So, you know, those guys are still out hustling even to the end. It's just that one of the last weekends that Nikolai was alive, he went to a show and, just doing autographs. He wasn't in the ring or anything like that, but still, you got to get on the plane, you got to travel, and it gets old. It's not as easy as people think. Well, all you're doing is getting on the plane. That's a hustle, man. That airport is not a fun place anymore. And it's just miserable. You know, live out of the suitcase and, you know, you got to eat right. It takes its toll on you after a while. And you can't cheat the body. It won't let you go. They'll come back and tap you on the shoulder when you least expect it and say, hey, remember when you did this? All right, now I'm going to collect from you. And we don't want to hear it, but it's there.
And I think about that quite a bit just because going back to my wrestling days, I mean, my knees are close to being shot, in my opinion. And I'm 30 years old, and now my knees are horrible. So you're right. Everything does come back. You don't think, I'm falling on my knees all the time. This isn't going to bother me a lot. It's going to catch up. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm there with that one, too. In fact, I've been suffering with those exact things recently. And neck, back, elbows, it's like, it's just between wrestling and police work, it's like, hit it hard, man, you know. And then it's just like, you only get one body. They could maybe change some parts on you, but you got to take this one to the grave with you, man. That's it.
Yeah, and
Jimmy, I tell you, one thing I miss is Grimlina. I miss Grimlina, you know it?
Yeah, Grimlina, she had a lot of things going on with her husband and her personal life, and just a lot going on, so we just called it quits on a partnership. But she's still a great person. I talked to her not too long ago, and I try to keep up with her and always talk to her when I can.
Oh, me too, on the Facebook and stuff like that. Yeah, I try to stay in touch with her. And, yeah, just wonderful person. All the glue girls that I've met, they were just great. I got to be good friends with Jeannie. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it's like I said to her, she and I got inducted Cloverleaf Hall of Fame the same day. I remember that.
Yeah, that's a monumental little induction for you.
She and I was the same day because she had Phil Singer. He did the honors for me. Of course, Legends of Wrestling, Tom Phil Singer, the professor. And, that's still one of my favorite honors. I love that, man. Beautiful.
Well, I appreciate
it. Of course,
thank you.
The picture of me holding up the certificate and you see Freddie over my shoulder. It's like, there he is. He was, oh, my God. You know, with my book called When It Was Real, and I go back over the 70s, year by year with that book, and talk about people like him and Lou Albano. The Grand Wizard I never met, but he was very influential to us, of course. But the whole theory of the book, it meant something to all of us that followed it. I mean, it still does. And for me, I was a very severely abused child physically and emotionally. So it really saved me. Professional wrestling did. It was there for me. And besides that aspect of it, people just enjoyed it. And it was a catharsis, yes, but it was something that we could believe in. And I make a point to say that I'm not knocking today's product. I don't watch it. It's just not my thing after experiencing the 70s and early 80s.
Right.
I always say the day the Sheik lost to Hogan was the day the music died. And not disparaging Hogan or anything like that, because things were going to change. The guys in the format that we knew, our Bobo Brazils and Chief Strongbows and Brunos and Backlund, they were getting older. And it wasn't going to be able to continue to be what it was. Plus, with the internet, there's no way you could kayfabe. It's just, it was innocent, yet rogue. And we were lucky And like a lot of people say, well, gee, too bad you weren't involved back then. You could have maybe done something, you know, managing people like a Nikolai. And it's like, no, I was happy to have enjoyed it. That was more important to me to be a fan. It touched me deeper than if I had been a part of it then. Of course, doing it later was great. I still feel like the luckiest guy on the planet that I ever got an opportunity, but I was so involved as a fan, you know, where they say you just, and fanatic, that's what the fan is short for, fanatic. It's like, yeah, if they put something on a tune for me, it would be, this nut loved wrestling, boom. Anybody that knows me, says, that's it, that's his number one, is wrestling, boom.
Yeah, that's true, and you know, I don't think you mentioned it, but another big influential name in the 70s was Superstar Billy Graham.
And my favorite year, 1977, my favorite year, and I say that in the book because, you know, he carried it. It was the first time a heel had carried the belt that long. You know, Koloff had it for 3 weeks, Stasiak 9 days, and then Superstar, but at the era of 1970, the Superstar era, what was so great about it, we still had Bruno, and I think it was better, Bruno chasing the belt from the guy, his belt, by the way, we called it Bruno's belt, chasing his belt from the guy that stole it, and then you had the Chief with a title shot, Tony Garea, Zabisco, and Alden Putski, and, you know, people that would never get title matches, because you never had face versus face, but yet, you still had Tanaka and Fuji going against Garea and Zabisco. Patera was on fire. It was just George Steele come back. What, it was a great, Peter Mazia. It was a great year, man. I loved Superstar's run. That was one of my favorites. And one of my favorite champions is Backlund. Of course, Bruno. Who wouldn't love Bruno? We always did. Yes, without a doubt. But one of my favorites was Backlund because of his ethic, the workout. Clean guy. You know, I hear people say, well, Backlund wasn't over. And it's like, let me tell you something. You go, if it's still on YouTube, any of the matches, or go on WWE's website, it's, what, $10 a month? Come on. You can't even get out of McDonald's for that anymore. So go look at the old matches, and you watch the crowd reaction in Madison Square Garden with Backlund, a specific match, the rematch with Valentine. Because the cover shot for my book is from February 19th, 1979, when they went to a one-hour draw. Then the rematch on March 26th, Backlund put the figure four on Valentine. And man, the roof, I swear, I think it lifted and twirled around and settled back down. The pop was unbelievable. And the Backlund would be a cage match with Pat Patterson, which I would say is the greatest cage match I've ever seen, without a doubt. And it was so perfectly done. That response, anytime he would beat somebody like a Koloff or any of Slaughter, man, there's another one. In 1983, with Slaughter, if you remember, whipped Backlund on television, and by the way, that was legitimate whipping. And that's in Bob Backlund's book. He said, yeah, beat the hell. And you could see the marks, he's bleeding. So, when they had their match in the Garden the first time, I believe that was May 16th of 83, and at the ending, Backlund had the chicken wing cross face on Slaughter, and the Wizard hands Slaughter the whip, and he hits Backlund, and then he drops it. When Backlund picks up that whip, you cannot even hear Gorilla Monsoon. The place is just going absolutely bananas. So it's like Backlund was over. He was not Bruno. Absolutely. He was not Superstar. He was Bob Backlund. And I can say it as a fan. I bought the damn tickets. I sat in the seats. Yes, we loved and respected Bob Backlund, without a doubt.
And Bob Backlund's another one of those guys that's really nice. Just very,
yes,
very
yes,
kind. And his amateur
yes.
wrestling abilities were second to none. And holding the heavyweight title for over 2,000 days is hardly ever been close to by anyone since. So it's definitely legendary.
You know, you hear some people say, well, they used to have to stack the card. You know what? That's bull. If you look, even when Bruno was champion, Madison Square Garden, it was WrestleMania every month. It wasn't worrying about Bruno. Yeah, you could sell out the building on his own. It wasn't the – and that's another thing I take issue with when people say this guy sold out the building. No, I went to see everybody. And that's why – that was their Black Friday every month, like the day after Christmas. If the Garden is not in the black, the whole company is shaky. And that's why when Bruno had the broken neck, it's like, oh, man, what the hell are we going to do now? And because if the Garden goes under, that, you know, everybody else is on shaky grounds. It was like one conglomerate, but all the little territories and the cities, they all had their own little thing to go and do. And, you know, it was a combined effort, but the Garden was it. So it had to succeed, or the Worldwide Wrestling Federation would cease to exist. So it was like, of course they stacked the card. Every month they would put everybody. I mean, you'd have guest appearances by Harley Race at times. And we never had Nick Bockwinkel when he was champion. But Vern Gagne, he made a couple of appearances. And, you know, different people from Japan. And it's like, it was a WrestleMania every damn month. You know, it's like, boom. And when you go back and you look at the shows from that era, it's like, man, this is great. You know, and then you hear like a guy like Ivan Putski, people say, oh, I hate Clinton Work. He was this, he was that. You go back and look at the match Putski had with Superstar. It was August the 29th of 77. It's a great match. It's a classic strongman match. Beautifully done. I mean, it's just perfect. And they say, yeah, no Maskers, he wouldn't sell. It's like, I don't know. I look at the match with Superstar and Maskers. It was fantastic. I don't see anything wrong with it, man. I don't, you know, everybody's got their own take on things. But bottom line for me is I loved it. And when people sometimes say to me, well, in fact, I became good friends with Chief Strongbow over the years. And he one time said to me, well, what was your favorite feud of mine? And I know what he was picking at. And I said, Chief, you against Patera. Patera! I said, yeah, I know you want me to say Valentine, because that was really like his idea. And I said, it was great. But you and Patera would not end. I said, I would actually take Arion before Valentine, but they never really got to take off with it. Because, you know, Arion got involved with Bruno. They had to have that run. And then Chief was just about on his way to Georgia for a little stint. So they didn't have a chance for Arion and Chief to really go at it in 75. They did it a little bit here and there, but not like you would expect. So it's like, yeah, I loved when it happened. It's fantastic. But I see you and Patera, it just never ended from the day it started, which was actually May 16th in the Garden of 77, and then it was just a TV thing, the angle with White Wolf, and then tag matches, this, that. It was just fantastic. And each match with Patera and Chief was a war. And Ken Patera is another guy that I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. He was, every match, you could put him in there with whoever, and you're going to see 100% great ability there with Ken Patera. And he knew how to get people, okay, they did something on television, feats of strength. He had the place in a near riot just with that. He didn't even work with anybody. It was just him. Him and Vince, and he's doing these feats of strength, and they're ready to tear the building down. He had everybody so wild up.
Absolutely. I think he might have been WWF's like first big strongman, real strongman. And his size and accomplishments are monumental.
That was a situation that almost didn't happen, because the first night that they wrestled in the Garden, there was a big ice storm, and actually ice storm, not snow, because it's, and I remember that winter, it was horrible. I was in Baltimore, and I remember looking over the Potomac, or off of Patapsco Avenue there, and it was frozen solid. So it was a brutal winter. The rails were frozen. You couldn't get people there, and the Garden was down like 5,000, 6,000. The stories I've heard, Vince Sr. was about ready to call it and say, this ain't going to happen next month. You know, we're going to drop the program. And Bruno spoke up and said, wait a minute, wait, it's not him. Nobody could get here. So they listened to Bruno, and the rest of the history, as we all know, Patera, he could bring it, man, without a doubt.
Absolutely. And I did want to touch on two of the biggest events, I'd probably say, you might agree, that you were a part of. Of course, Maccabee Mania 2 and Heroes of Wrestling, two that might as well go on as two that go down as some of the worst, but should go down a little better just because of the card. And a lot of the matches were pretty decent.
Well, look, you know, when people talk about Heroes of Wrestling and they come up with that crapola that it was the worst pay-per-view of all time, it's like, you know, you're an ass that would go to Yankee Stadium and boo at old-timers games. You know, it's like, what did you expect the guys were going to do at their age? And as we talked about the toll the body takes, it's like they were trying, giving them credit. They were trying to keep the old school style going. You aren't going to see Jimmy Snuka jump off a cage anymore or do the things that he was known for when he was young, but he was out there giving it an effort, as everybody was. And it's like, don't knock it. Support it. And some of the people that pissed me off the most about it were the ones that make money off the backs of those guys as writers. And it's like, hey, why don't you shut the hell up? You're not undertaking the beating that these guys are taking. Give them the credit for what they're in there and they're trying to do. You know, nobody got rich off of that. It was a nice little payday here and there, and hopefully it would have continued. And I think a lot of people liked it. But, and then, of course, our favorite, the Shekel Slam, Macadamia. Oh, my God. That was a precursor, I think, Jimmy, too. Like a Heroes of Wrestling or a Legends situation. It just wasn't called it at the time, but it certainly was. And for that year that it was released, that was the biggest selling DVD in all of pro wrestling. I believe it was 2007 that it was released. And yeah, it's unbelievable. Michael Mansky, I went to approach him about putting it on Internet Movie Database. I said, you know, because they put these things on there. And he's like, yeah, go ahead, man. And it's like, yeah, it belongs there. It's epic. It really is. And even the, I would say, the biggest toast of the coast was that Howard Finkel even owns a copy of it. That's how big it was. Because Howard's one of the biggest, probably top five fans of all time. Let me tell you, without a doubt. And it's like, yeah, that was a great, great night. That was a great show. I wish I had, man, I tell you, I've been married a couple of times in my life. Jimmy, I had, I think, maybe 50 of those posters. But they got left behind in one of my moves in a divorce. And it's like, boy, I wish I had them. Just even to give them out, people would have loved it. I know you'd love to have at least one, so it's like, but, you know, the hindsight is 2020. I wish I knew then what I knew now. But, hey, I'm glad to have my copy and my shirts, and I treasure it. And who knew? You know, it was just going to be a regular show. Nick Clark said, yeah, we're going to go to Newark. We're going to do a wrestling show. Freddie's going to be there. I said, oh, man, I can't wait. And that's why the comments on the pictures that got reposted, and what a coincidence that came up on Facebook today, that you and I celebrated 9 years of friendship. And I'm like, this is incredible. I mean, we do the interview with him today. But the one picture, and it has the description from when I originally posted it, I said the best thing of the whole show was seeing Freddie, seeing Pencil Neck Geek live. And I was like, my God, it was incredible. He was just something else. He was larger than life. He was more than a wrestler. He was more than a wrestling manager. He was so well known throughout Hollywood. Any aspect he ever involved in, he was just an iconic kind of a guy. If he would have just been like an ice cream salesman, he would have been the greatest that there ever was. He had it. He was that kind of person.
Yeah, I'm still, if there's ever a way to get a copy of your signed Maccabiah Mania poster, that would be just about the best thing I could ever get from somebody.
Well, you know, that might be possible. Because there's different places that, you know, you send today's technology, I think all you need to do is, like, I take a picture and send it in. They probably could do that, yeah. You know, and just put it on a regular sheet, you know, that they do for pictures. Yeah, probably could do that, man.
Yeah, like cardstock or something. I never thought of that until now.
I don't even know
if
it needed to be. Yeah, it doesn't even need to be cardstock. They just probably make it like a large picture. Yeah, that's absolutely possible. And believe it or not, it wouldn't be that expensive. You know, some of the deals I see out there, and I'm not going to name any companies or anything like that, but it's like, damn, that's cheap. I can't believe it. You know, it's like, wow. And, like, even if you've got old movies, you can get them transferred. At one time, it was like a small fortune, but nah, that's easy stuff to do now. Most people do it themselves, so I guess to keep up with the competition, they drop the pricing.
Absolutely. A couple of thoughts before we end it. I think people kind of maybe had too much thought of what Heroes of Wrestling was going to be. And overall, I don't think it was a horrible product, but maybe it didn't live up to some people's expectations. And, of course, Jake the Snake Roberts and his whole deal didn't help anything.
Yeah, some people are just constipated. They always complain no matter what. You know, it's like you hear with the politics, that gimmick, you know, with the news. It's true. The news is full of baloney because I could tell you from policemen, I'd be at the scene of something, I see it on the news, I say, where the hell did they get that? It didn't happen. But news is news entertainment. I used to argue with my mother all the time. And she said, that's not entertainment. I said, Mom, it's not the news. They got to sell that crap. That's why they say if it bleeds, it leads. And people, Gorilla Monsoon had the classic line, people are basically sadistic. You know, they talk about this horror and that horror, but yet they want to look at it. They want to see it. You ever notice, like, a car accident on the highway, everybody's stopping and looking at it. It's like, you're not going to see anything pleasant, so what do you want to see? So there's some truth to what he said, without a doubt.
Absolutely. And, of course, where can everybody get when it was real, and anything else on that that the fans can figure out?
From the wonderful Scott Teal, his site, crowbarpress.com, C-R-O-W, crowbarpress.com. And Scott Teal, oh, he's produced over 200 wrestling books, great books, over, and working with him was an honor and a pleasure. And he was, it took me a long time, it was a 10-year project, 2 years to compile it, and 6 years to find somebody. It was him, finally, of course, that came through, and then 2 years to edit it, because I had handed him over 500 pages, and he's like the master chef. I gave him all the ingredients, and he put it together, and it's, read it, it flows, you can read it, and the great thing about it, he even fooled me. I didn't know he was going to do this, but we have clippings, the old newspaper clippings, and there's over 227 black and white images. There's probably maybe 10 or 12 pictures, me, and there were different people to legitimize what I talk about, that I actually know these people. But then the rest, they are the newspaper clippings, which I love, because at one point I told the wife, I said, man, I'd always like to see a book that had clippings. And boy, Scott Teal, he shocked me with that. When I opened them, like, this is beautiful. And they're strategically placed for the card that's being discussed. Not each card has it now, but anytime there is a clipping, it's associated with what we're talking about.
But yeah, I think that's
real,
really neat.
That's my baby. Yeah, look, it's a trip back in time. It's an easy read. Today, there's so much that tightens our heads. Stress, that bother, you know, we got this, we got that. This is something you can jump in and you go back and you're happy. You just read it. You don't really have to think. Like Nikolai used to say, you make it so complicated, people don't follow it. They don't like it. It's like, that's right. You don't go to wrestling to think. You go to be entertained, relax. And this book, you jump into it, boom. You just you love it. You're happy. And that's what I wanted to send, a message that was like, take people back and make them happy. Nothing, we got enough crap all in the world, man.
Right, unless you're in the ring, then you really got to make it mad.
Except.
Well, thank you so much.
I'll tell you. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I try.
My
I
pleasure
try.
As always.
Yes, and I'm actually wanting, I'm going to try to set up another Maccabee Mania radio reunion thing, get a hold of Jeff and Mike and a few others, and do that down the line, so you'll definitely be
Jeff,
on that if
Jeff
you want.
Bukens. I don't forget Jeff. I have to say his name to Jeff Bukens, yes, without a doubt. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, that'll be wonderful. March 1st, I never forget the date, 1997, and yeah, that would be wonderful, man. I can't believe how long ago that was. Oh, yay.
22 years.
Yes. Oh, boy. Crazy, man.
Well, thanks to Chad and Nikita, and enjoy the rest of your night, brother.
Dos vidanya, Tavares.
Absolutely. Dos vidanya, comrade. Have a good one.
Okay. You too.
Alrighty, guys, we're about out of time. I don't want to get hung up on, but I do have a ton of stuff I got to plug real quick. We're going to be back July 23rd with the Strictly Background Radio Reunion, which is possibly the first ever reunion of a documentary. I'm not sure. Maybe it's happened before. Jeffrey Gould from Pearl Harbor, Terry Mazzovi from Kung Pao Enter the Fist, and Terry Bolo from Pee Wee's Big Adventure will be joining us. July 25th is Season 6, Episode 1 of The Hollywood Connection. Where Jan Park Smith will be making her return. We'll be welcoming celebrity interviewer and Guinness World Record holder Pavlina Asta at the special time of 10 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. July 30th, actor, director, producer Marty Schiff from Dawn of the Dead. August 3rd, author Amy Hale. And August 5th, The Man on the Moon, 20th anniversary radio reunion featuring Little Wendy Poland, a.k.a. the former performing partner of Andy Kaufman. She also appears herself in the film. And actor Greg Travis, who played one of the CBS, executives. Crazy heck up there. All right, guys. Big thanks again to Nikita Reznikoff. If you joined us late, be sure and check in about 10 minutes. Download the archive so you can listen to the whole thing. And we will see you July 23rd. Also, don't forget the 2019 SoCon, September 6th and 7th at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois. 2019 Dark History and HorrorCon, October 26th and 27th. 2019 at the City Center in Champaign, Illinois, SoCon.com or DHHCon.com for up-to-date ticket prices and guest info. All right, guys, we will see you very soon. Thank you so much for listening. Have a